morning, Christ Church. It's a joy and a privilege to be with you this morning, to worship our great God together, and now to attune to His Word. Just by way of brief introduction, my name is Josh Eby. I've been a pastor for many years and have been privileged to serve various churches, especially over the last 7 years, as you go through a leadership transition. And I've worked with a lot of different churches facing a lot of different types of situations. And one thing that I've been privileged to see in this work is God's care, God's love, God's concern, and God's promise to build His church. And so I want us to look at Psalm 23, this familiar passage, in light of God's great love for His people. So let's pray together. Our Father and our God, we come into Your presence this morning knowing that You love us with an everlasting love. And we ask that that love would become a little bit clearer to us as we turn to Your Word and see the wisdom from this particular passage. We ask that You'd give us eyes to see, ears to hear, hearts to understand, and wills to obey. And we ask that we might see Jesus high and lifted up, and that we might experience Him in new and fresh ways as our good shepherd. For His sake we pray, amen. Well, recently, my wife and I were around a table with some friends, and the conversation of personality types began. And I'm sure that this is a conversation that you've had around particular tables, your family table, a work table, a school table. And the intention of these conversations are to get to know the other people a little bit better, and also to get to know yourself. And you may have taken some of these personality tests in the past in order that you might know yourself and know others a little bit more fully, in order that you might know whether you're somebody who is more laid back or somebody who's more assertive, whether you're somebody who's energized by being with people or more energized by being by yourself. And these things are helpful, and these things are diagnostic tools that can give us some resources as we navigate life in this world. A number of years ago, David Brooks wrote an article where he was talking about personality types, and he outlined two types of virtues. He talked about competitive virtues, and he compared and contrasted those to compassionate virtues. And he says that competitive virtues are things like toughness and power and authority and dominance. And he said these are in vogue in our particular cultural moment. And we tell ourselves stories about leaders that embody these virtues. People like Tony Stark. And then he said, out of style, out of vogue, are the compassionate virtues, mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness. And he says, we don't tell ourselves these stories anymore. And we don't have people like Mr. Rogers who embody these compassionate virtues for us. So he said, what type of person are you trying to become? Are you trying to become like Tony Stark, or are you trying to become like Mr. Rogers? And he says, in our world and in this particular cultural moment, whether you're a Christian or not, we need more people who are becoming like Mr. Rogers. And today we want to look at the wisdom of Psalm 23, and we want to see from Psalm 23 that no matter your personality type, whether you are more assertive or whether you are more laid back, whether you like to take charge or whether you like to follow, however God has wired you, the wisdom of Psalm 23 teaches us that we are all sheep and we all need a shepherd. And so I want us to look at three things together from Psalm 23. First, why we need a shepherd. Second, when we need a shepherd. And then third, who is our shepherd? And it doesn't matter if you have been a Christ follower for a very long time or whether you're somebody who's exploring the Christian faith today. I want us to look at Psalm 23 through this lens of who our God is as a good shepherd and why you need to be reminded in the particularities of your life this morning that you need a good shepherd. So first, let's look at why we need a shepherd. In a world, in a culture that's aspiring to form and to shape us into people like Tony Stark, why in the world do we need a shepherd? Well, the reality is that we are all finite. We're all creatures. And we've been born into a world that is much bigger than us. And when we exit this world will continue beyond us. And as finite creatures, we find ourselves ensnared and entrapped by lots of things that catch us in this world. And none of us can escape these traps. The trap of loneliness, the trap of sickness, the trap of failure, and eventually and finally, the trap of death. As finite creatures, we need to be prepared for these traps. We need to have a way to work through these traps. And we live in a world that is vast. We live in a world that's dark. We live in a world that's scary. We live in a world that is tumultuous, and things are bigger than us, and things are outside of our control. All we have to do is open up a newspaper or check the news online any day of the week and realize that we live in a scary, dark, tumultuous world. Wars, rumors of wars, economic uncertainty, political unrest. These are everywhere in our world. These are everywhere in our lives. And if you were to have a conversation with a therapist, with a psychologist, with a counselor, they would say in order for you to be able to navigate the challenges of your own finitude and the vastness of this world, you really need four things in your life. You need to be seen by others. You need to be soothed by others. You need to be secure, and you need to be safe. And those are good things, those are beautiful things, and these are things that our parents or another loved one or a spouse are supposed to provide for us in our world. But they offer these things to us imperfectly. And as we go through the highs and lows, the twists and turns of life, we begin to realize our smallness and the world's vastness can be overwhelming. That great philosopher Mike Tyson once said, "Everybody has a plan until they get punched in the mouth." And when life punches you in the mouth, are you prepared for it? Do you have a system? Do you have a philosophy? Do you have a worldview? Do you have a God who is able to sustain you through the life's challenges and life's difficulties? We all in this world and in this cultural moment seek people to help us journey through life together. We seek life coaches. We seek financial planners. We seek counselors. We seek personal trainers. These are amazing helps. These are amazing guides. But even the best of these are insufficient to fully help us navigate all the twists and turns of life. And the invitation of Psalm 23 is that as sheep, we can have a shepherd that knows us and loves us and cares for us through all the highs and lows of life. Several years ago, I was jumping on a plane on a Saturday morning to go to Minneapolis to preach at a church and to lead through a weekend at a church in a consulting project to help that church find their next senior pastor. And I got on the plane with no news on the phone, and I had a decent plane ride, tried to settle in. I'm a big guy, so a little hard for me to settle all the way into the plane seat. Watched a movie, read a little bit, maybe took a little nap. And as we were landing into Minneapolis, and as I turned my phone back on, I received two texts. The first text was from my brother, and he simply said, "Sonny died this morning. Pray for us." Sonny was my brother's father-in-law, and Sonny had been part of our family for many, many years. And Sonny was a father figure to me. And as I got that text, I realized I didn't have a chance to say goodbye to Sonny. And now I'm not going to have a chance to interact with Sonny anymore, to receive his wisdom, to receive his counsel, to receive his guidance. I'm going to miss him. I got another text from a pastor friend that said, "Pray for Chris and his family. He died in a motorcycle accident this morning." And Chris was a pastor friend, and we had been talking about consulting for his church and helping him to think through a leadership transition himself. And he loved to ride motorcycles, and he went out on a Saturday morning to ride his motorcycle, and he slipped on some gravel, and he crashed to his death. And as I got these texts, I just began to realize and weep, this world is scary. I got on a plane for a couple hours and my world has been rocked. My world has been shifted. It is outside of my control. And I began to pray on that plane, "Lord, would you be the good shepherd? Would you be the good shepherd to me and my hurt and pain right now? Would you be the good shepherd to my brother and his family? Especially my sister-in-law and her pain and loss right now. Would you be the good shepherd to Chris and his church and his family and their pain right now?" So your smallness and the world's vastness is why you need a good shepherd. Secondly, when do you need a good shepherd? And this psalm takes us through three seasons of a sheep's life: spring, summer, and fall. And you need a good shepherd for each of those seasons. Let's look at each three briefly. You need a good shepherd for the springtime of life. And we see spring in a sheep's life in these first few verses of Psalm 23, where the sheep have plenty of food and plenty of water, and they are able to rest. And this is a season of your life when life is full, when life is abundant, when it is blue skies, and when you are excited and energized to wake up every day and to face whatever life brings to you, because you're experiencing and enjoying the overwhelming grace and abundance of God. These are beautiful days. These are gifts to be received. Our God, who is a good shepherd, loves to give good gifts to his children. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. Our God is not stingy. Our God's a God of abundance, and he loves to give gifts to his children. And in this psalm, it's in the form of still waters. It's in the form of green grass. And the picture of this is a picture of abundance, of flourishing, of fullness for the sheep. And if that's you here today, and if you're experiencing God's amazing, abundant grace, enjoy these days. Give thanks for these days. These are gifts from your Father. Receive them as gifts. Thanks be to God. We belong to a Father who loves to give gifts to his children. And so receive them with joy and gratitude. Cherish them. Your Father loves to give good gifts. But know this, and Every sheep living in Israel knew this. Every shepherd living in Israel knew this. Spring doesn't last forever. Summer is coming. Summer is on the way. And when summer arrives in a mountainous city like Jerusalem, there's no more water in the springs and rivers, and there's no more grass. And a shepherd has to journey with his sheep down the mountains into the valleys to find new water and to find new grass. And that journey is scary, because on this journey downward, there are thieves, there are lurkers, there are bandits who are trying to steal and rob and kill the sheep. Summer is coming. The heat of summer may be upon you right now. And if not, the heat of summer will be upon you. We all know this as humans. We all experience this, that life is hard, that life is full of suffering and trial, that there are things that we are going to experience that we feel the weight of. We feel the heat of it. And so much of life is learning how to steward suffering when it comes our way. And as Christians, so much of life is knowing how to steward suffering in the hope of the gospel, that we haven't placed all of our hope on these earthly things like our health, our wealth, our well-being. But we've placed our hope on something bigger and something greater that is able to sustain us during the summer months. Now, as Texans, we know this reality well. I have a conversation every year. In fact, I had a conversation recently. Isn't it amazing to live in Texas in January, in February, in March? And maybe you've had this conversation where you're outside during one of these months and you're enjoying a meal with friends, you're out at the park, and people are saying, isn't this incredible? We get to live in this beautiful state. And then somebody in the group, and there's always one, will say, yes, this is wonderful, but August is coming. And when August arrives, we are all going to hate living here. Why do we do this to ourselves? Well, it's because we know that summer heat is going to descend upon us, and we're going to have to endure the weight of summer heat. And are we prepared for that? And in this psalm, the good shepherd knows how to get the sheep to summer and to keep providing food and water and protection during the summer months. Because this good shepherd travels with the sheep down these well-worn paths, these righteous paths, and he protects the sheep. And he has the resources and the know-how and the wisdom to get his sheep through the summer months. And for most of us, we are living in the tension between spring and summer. Life is about stewarding joys and trials, suffering and success, highs and lows, and we experience it in lots of ways every single day. I have a friend who experienced this in a very intense and acute way a number of years ago. He and his wife were pregnant with their first child, and they were getting ready to give birth to their first child, and they went to the hospital that day where they were going to celebrate this momentous event, this amazing event of new life in the world. And as they went to the hospital, to the maternity ward, on that side of the hospital was his wife giving birth to their son, and on the other side of the hospital, his father had been there for weeks and was about to die. And he spent his day going from caring for his wife in one wing of the hospital to going to say goodbye to his father on the other wing of the hospital. And his son was born and his father died on the exact same day. And he says that this reality of life and death together has shaped him in ways that he couldn't even imagine, but has shaped him to be a better father, a better husband, a better brother, a better friend. And he says when this day comes around every year, he both enters into the joy and the high of being a parent and of celebrating his son's birthday, and the loss and the struggle of no longer having a dad. And isn't that just a mystery of life? That spring and summer go together. And the wisdom of Psalm 23 says that we have a good shepherd who knows how to care for the sheep during these seasons. Well, there's one more season that the text highlights for us, and that is fall. And fall in Israel, if you made it as a sheep, meant that the Israelites during the season of fall were gonna have parties, we're gonna have celebrations, we're gonna have festivals, we're gonna have feasts. And if you were a sheep living in Israel, lucky enough to make it through the summer heat, and you arrived at fall, guess what that meant for you? You were meat. You were going to be eaten. You were going to be consumed. But look at what our text says here in Psalm 23. This is amazing. This is incredible. This is upside down. This shepherd doesn't consume the sheep. What does this shepherd do for the sheep? He provides a feast. He provides a table. He provides a party. He says, "Come and feast with me." Friends, this is the heart of Christianity. This is the heart of the biblical story. This is the heart of grace. Our God isn't out to consume you. Our God isn't out to devour you. Our God isn't out to eat you. Our God throws feasts and parties for you, the sheep. He provides for you. And he continually provides for you. And as a good shepherd, he says, keep coming back to my table. Keep coming back to my house. Keep coming home over and over and over again. No matter how far you've strayed, no matter how far you've wandered, this is an open invitation. My mercy, my grace, it's going to seek you out all the days of your life. And I'm going to keep preparing a table for you. And this is an invitation for you to come and find your rest and your life in me. St. Augustine once said that the entirety of the Christian story is God bringing his children home. And we get a beautiful picture of this in Psalm 23. The Father's deep love for his children, this constant invitation, come to my house. Come and find your rest in me. Come and sit at my table. I'm not here to destroy you. I'm here to provide for you. So why do we need a shepherd? Because we're finite creatures and this world is too big for us. When do we need a shepherd? During the spring and summer and fall of life. And then finally, who is our shepherd? Well, friends, our shepherd is the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is our shepherd. This Lord, Israel's God, the covenant-keeping God, the faithful God, the promise-making God, the one who does what he says he's going to do, the one who is faithful, the one who is bigger and wiser and stronger than all of these overwhelming circumstances in life. This Lord is your shepherd. The one who made promises to Abraham makes promises to you. The one who is faithful to Moses is faithful to you. The one who is faithful to Esther is faithful to you. The one who preserved Daniel is faithful to you. The one who cared for Mary cares for you. The one who loved Christ loves you. See, Jesus, he had a shepherd as well. He had a father who loved him, protected him, provided for him, journeyed with him as our Savior walked this earth. And our Savior, as you look at his life, you see times where he went away to go be with his Father, to receive grace and wisdom and comfort and support from his Father. And we've just celebrated the life of Christ through Passion Week, through Holy Week. And as we look at the life of Christ through the lens of the Good Shepherd, we see that our Savior was faithful not only to walk through the valley of the shadow of death, but to walk through death itself. And he had a shepherd, he had a father who brought him to the other side and who vindicated him in his resurrection. And friends, that shepherd is the Good Shepherd, and he is our Lord. And the good news of the gospel is that we have somebody who has passed through the other side of death and has conquered it and lives and reigns and has ascended to his Father's right hand and is now ruling over all things on behalf of his church. This is our shepherd. And our shepherd, the Good Shepherd, loves to give gifts to his church. And the best gift that he's ever given is the gift of his Holy Spirit. And he continually provides what each individual church needs to keep following the Good Shepherd through the seasons that they have endured. And this shepherd continually invites his children back home and says, "Come and find your rest in me. Come and feast upon me." Because what we're reminded of in Holy Week is that this shepherd, the Good Shepherd, laid down his life for the sheep. And that means that you are not the lamb. You are not the lamb. You have a lamb. You have a sacrifice. You have a priest who has gone before. You have a priest who now sits at his Father's right hand and intercedes for you and says, "I am preparing a table before you. I've gone before you to prepare the way for you to get to the Father's house." And so as you journey through your life and all the highs and lows, no matter how good or how hard that may be, remember this: I've gone before to prepare a way. And there's a table waiting for you. And friends, I hope that you're a church. I hope that you're a community. I hope that you're a people. I know that this is true of you, that loves to celebrate, that loves to enjoy the good gifts of God, that loves to feast around tables. All of these, and especially this table that we're about to celebrate in a minute, are reminders that we have a good shepherd who is preparing the way for us to feast with him forever and ever and ever at his banquet, at the supper of the Lamb. And so no matter how good spring is for you, or no matter how hard summer is for you, remember this: you are not the lamb. You have a good shepherd that's gone before to prepare the way. And so the invitation to you this morning is: come to your good shepherd and find your life in him. And when you do that, here's what begins to happen: is you begin to become under shepherds in his name. In Christ, in your union with Christ, in belonging to Christ, in fellowship with Christ, Jesus in his grace and by the power of the Holy Spirit says, guess what? You're an under shepherd in my name. And I'm going to be sending you as a sheep all over my world to love and care and to serve and to protect and provide for others as you have been loved and served and cared and protected and provided in my name. And so our call as a church, our invitation as a church, is to become under shepherds of Jesus and to go out into his world wherever he sends us, in our homes, in our neighborhoods, in our places of work, in our schools, in our sports teams, and to practice the grace that we've received, to embody the grace that we've received, to give away the grace that we've received, and in his name, to embody the compassionate virtues, to love, to forgive, to be patient, to be kind, to be gentle, to embody the fruit of the Spirit, because we belong to a Savior who is that for us. As a church, you're going through a process to find your next pastor. I don't know who that's going to be. I don't know how long that's going to take. But I do want to encourage you with this. As we search together, as the PSC is formed, and the PSC goes through all the steps and all the stages of the process to align on a candidate and to one day present a candidate before you, as you prepare for a celebration where you're going to feast with this new pastor and throw a party to say, we thank God that you've come to serve us and to be an under-shepherd of Christ in this place. Know this, that our job as a PSC, my job in working with you as a church, is to help identify men that are seeking the good shepherd and that want more than anything else just to lead this flock to Christ's table and to continually say, whether we're experiencing joy and success in life or whether we experience hardship and difficulty in life, my job is to bring you continually back to our Good Shepherd's presence. Because it's only in his name and it's only at his table, it's only through his word, it's only by his grace that we're going to be the community that he calls us to be. And so we're going to be looking for under shepherds who are seeking the good shepherd in their life. And we're going to be seeking an under shepherd who day in and day out, week in and week out, will just continually be encouraging you to return to the good shepherd and to find your life in his name, and who invites you to come back into his presence, back to his table, back to his feast, day after day and week after week. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you have given to us portions of your word like Psalm 23. You are the Lord. You are the shepherd. And you are with us. The heart of the biblical story, the heart of the biblical drama, is that we have nothing to fear because you are with us. And so we ask that as we journey through life together, that your presence and your love and your peace would be more and more known to us each and every day, each and every week as we gather as a community. And we thank you for the promise that goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our life, and that we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Thank you for seasons where we can be reminded of this in new and fresh ways. And I pray for Christ Church, that you would sustain and that you would encourage and that you would energize them during this season, and that they would continually return to you and continually return to your presence and to your table every week. And we pray all this in Christ's name. Amen.
All we like sheep